Frequently in the church, if you were to ask the person on Ashdod Station, how did Jesus' ministry end? I reckon they would say, well, he died on a cross. And some believe he rose from the dead. That's how his ministry ended. I want to suggest to you something very different. Whilst that is absolutely true, I want to bring out to you teaching from the Ascension. Today is Ascension Sunday in the church. It's a very important part of the church calendar, but actually our lives together. Because if this hadn't happened, well, as we're going to be thinking about in a moment, your life and my life, today and tomorrow, will be very different. I want to suggest to you that the climax of the life and ministry of Jesus was actually an event that was all rolled together, which concluded with the Ascension. If you've got a Bible, in the book of Luke, and I'm going to read from verse 44, the last chapter of Luke. This is how Luke concludes his description of the life of Jesus in his book. Jesus is now talking to his disciples. He's risen from the dead. And he said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, "This is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things, and I am going to send you what my Father has promised. But stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." And now pay attention. When he had led them out to the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted up his hands and blessed them. While he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up into heaven. Then they, the disciples, worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they stayed continually at the temple, praising God. We're thinking about the Ascension. This is the word that describes how Jesus left earth and ascended quite literally up into heaven, into his rightful place. And I want to explain to us and help us to understand why this really matters, not just to understand with our heads, but allow it into our hearts and our lives. But to do that, I think we need to set the scene. Let's remember the context. The Ascension took place 40 days after Jesus rose from the dead. 40 days. I want to give you a little bit of Bible knowledge here. The number 40 is really important. It's significant in the Christian faith. Let me explain to you and give you some illustrations of why this number 40 is really important as we start to understand its meaning to us. How many days and nights were Noah and his family in the ark? 40. That's how long it rained in the floods. How many years were the Israelites wandering around in the wilderness? 40 years. We're on the right track. Moses was the leader of the Israelites during the Exodus. He went up onto Mount Sinai for God, and there he received the Ten Commandments. How many days was he on Mount Sinai? 40 days. How many years did the reign of King David last? 40 years. How many years did his son, Solomon, rule the kingdom for? 40 years. How many days and nights was Jesus in the wilderness being prepared to begin his public ministry where he was tempted by Satan? 40 days and 40 nights. 40 in the Bible means completion. The formation, the task that God the Father has set has been completed. So 40 days after his resurrection, this is what took place. And what's been happening in the 40 days before Jesus ascends? Well, let's remind ourselves. He's appeared to the disciples. He's appeared to those two people on the road to Emmaus. He's eaten some boiled fish to show that he is fully man. He is risen from the dead. He is the new Adam, physically, emotionally, and spiritually. He's encouraged the disciples to throw their nets over the other side, and there's been a miraculous catch of fish. He's appeared, as we read the Gospels, to over 500 people. And John concludes his Gospel with these words. Jesus did many other things as well. If every one of them was written down, I suppose that not even the whole world would have room for all the books that would have been written about him. So since his resurrection, Jesus has been performing signs and wonders and explaining definitively who he is and what the rule and reign of God is all about, with him at the center. And having done this, and as we've read in our reading, explained to the disciples so they truly get it, and given them a mission, he takes them on a final journey. He takes them where? Did you see it? To the Mount of Olives. Another time out. Every time we read about a high place, a hill, a mount or a mountain, we need to pause and think, hello, God's going to do something. Because there's a pattern in Scripture that when God names a high place, it's because something significant is going to happen. Invariably, it's what's called a theophany. That's when God makes himself known to us for a reason. So where does he take them? To the Mount of Olives. And what happens there? Well, he is raised up before the eyes of his followers, and he is taken up from them into glory. Wow. Wow. And this event is hugely significant. And it's there, its significance is there in the Gospels. But too often we focus on the cross. Absolutely right. But we need to see the cross with the resurrection and the ascension. Let me draw this out to you. You may want to turn to the book of Acts. We're going to be thinking about this next Sunday, Pentecost Sunday. The disciples have been filled with the Holy Spirit. Peter goes out and preaches to a crowd about Jesus Christ. And the end of his talk is what? It's this. Let me read the end of Peter's talk to us. It goes like this. And he's telling them about Jesus. God has raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses to it. Next sentence. Exalted to the right hand of God, he has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit and has poured out what you now see and hear. Do you see what happens? Peter has gone straight from the resurrection to the ascension, because the ascension really matters, as we're going to think about. The ascension is also key to Paul's theology. If we go to Philippians chapter 2, verses 6 to 11, where we get this great hymn of praise, Paul again skips over the resurrection and moves straight on from Jesus' death on the cross, verse 8, to this, that he is exalted in the highest place. And by that, he's been raised to heaven and is at the right hand of God the Father. It's as if the resurrection of Jesus and the ascension are all one movement. And then in John's Gospel, Jesus draws this out to us. I'm going to take us back now to Easter Sunday. Remember the women who got up early to go and to put those fragrances outside the tomb in a final act of love and worship? And there they find the stone rolled away, the guards have fled, and they see this person appear before them. And Mary thinks it's the gardener. And then Jesus says this to them, when she realizes that he is the risen Lord. Mary, do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. So Jesus was telling Mary and telling us about the importance of the ascension. And then, very intriguingly, his next instruction to Mary is this. Go instead to my disciples and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and to your God. The ascension mattered to Jesus. And it matters also to Luke. Luke divides his account of Jesus into two books. The book of Luke, which we thought about already, and the book of Acts. Look with me at the first verse of the book of Acts. Luke writes, "In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day he was taken up to heaven." What separates his account of Jesus is not the resurrection, but the ascension. So do you see how Scripture and Jesus himself brings out the importance of the ascension? The ascension is the fulcrum of the life of discipleship. It's the pivot on which our faith in the risen Christ is transformed. Why? Well, for five reasons. And then I'm going to give us some applications. So come with me on this. Firstly, Jesus' return to heaven, his ascension completes the incarnation. At Christmas, Jesus left the glory of heaven to enter the indignity and brutality and darkness of our world. And then, 33 years later, after his death and resurrection, 40 days after his resurrection, he's completed the work of the Father and he is taken up to his rightful place in heaven. And this is important. Because of the ascension, the union of God and man can now be brought about. The cross offers us forgiveness. The ascension restores Jesus to heaven so that he can become the conduit between us and release the Holy Spirit to believers here on earth. And his ascension gives hope to us today. His ascension becomes the paradigm for all believers. Remember the book of John, chapter 14, Jesus says to disciples, "I'm going to be leaving you soon. I am going to a place where my Father has prepared my home, and I will return and take you to be where I am." Where is that place? Well, the ascension tells us. In the ascension, Jesus is taken up to heaven to be at the right hand of the Father with all the saints in heaven. So without the ascension, we wouldn't know where we were going, and we could not be there, because Jesus takes us to be with him, which is where? In his Father's house, in the mansions of glory, in the New Jerusalem with all the saints. And notice as Jesus ascends, what happens? Luke tells us that his hands are raised in love. Jesus' hands before had been raised by soldiers. His hands had been nailed to a cross in great pain. He died for us. And now 40 days later, having completed the mission of the Father, not sinful man, lifts him up to where? Not to the cross on a rubbish dump, but onto the glory of his side in heaven. And as Jesus is raised up before us, we see that his hands, with the holes of the nails, that remind us of his transforming love for us, and those hands of transforming love, which are full of power, do what? Are used to bless his disciples, to commission them for their future ministry. And those hands are blessing you and blessing me today. We are being commissioned to do what? Not our work, but his work. Jesus is returned to the Father's side in glory, and his ministry doesn't finish. It is now passed on to us. And those hands commission us and bless us to be his people and to continue his work. And then thirdly, the ascension confirms the authority of Jesus. He's taken up where? I said it several times. To sit at the Father's right-hand side. What's he doing there? Having a good chin wag? Hanging out with all the saints? Well, yes, but there's something more important. The scriptures tell us he's interceding with the Father. He's the link between us and the Father. He's the conduit, he's the channel. We pray to the Father through the Son in the power of the Spirit. He is present and active with God in the Spirit in heaven and with us. providing the conduit, creating relationship. And he has the authority of being at the Father's side. And so the authority that he has will now be given at Pentecost to us by the Holy Spirit. No ascension, no authority. No authority, no presence, and no power, and no transformation here on earth. And should give us great comfort and great hope. Acts chapter 8, we read about the first person who was put to death because they believed in the risen and ascended Jesus Christ. It's a man called Stephen. He's about to be stoned to death by the religious authorities. And we read in Acts chapter 8 verse 52 that as they're about to stone him, he looks up to the heavens. And there what does he see? The exalted Jesus standing and interceding by the Father. And that gives him hope and confidence and the ability to endure physical death, knowing that his spiritual future is certain. And he witnesses all because of the resurrection. And then fourthly, the resurrection and the ascension come together, because through the ascension, the kingdom of God covers all time, all people, and all places. Jesus ministered at a particular time, in a particular place, to particular people. By ascending into heaven, he is taken out of that place, out of that time, out from those people, to be where? With God, who's beyond all time and space and for eternity, and whose heart is for all people. So the ascension enables the kingdom of God to be for all people, for all of time, in all places. Not just the physical location of Israel, as the Jews and disciples believed at the time. It is for all time. And then finally, the ascension is important because it provides the trigger for Pentecost. Did you read what happened there as we read it? Remain here, because I am going to give to you another one who will come, the Counselor, who will lead you into all truth and give you all power so that you can fulfill the mission that I have given to you. To be my witnesses, my ambassadors, my example, my apologists, my evangelists, in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. That is what the ascension enables. And it gives a new perspective then to the disciples. They've been focused on themselves. They've been focused on Jerusalem. And now Jesus is saying, look, I'm going up to heaven. And I'm going to empower and release you to carry on my work. And it's not just for Jerusalem. It's for Judea, Samaria, and all of the ends of the earth. And by the way, gang, you can't do it in your own strength. I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit that's empowered me. And Jesus could only give that fully by returning to heaven and then releasing it with the authority that the Father had given him. So do you start to see the value and the importance of the ascension? And we're going to wrap this up. I'm going to invite you to do something which is old-fashioned. I'm going to invite you to take your phone apps out and in your Bible app go to Acts chapter 1, verses 1 to 14. And I'm going to ask you to read the verse after me. I'm going to read the first verse. I'm going to ask you to read the second. I'll read the third until we get to verse 14. Is that okay? So we're going to conclude with this and with some application and a prayer. Acts chapter 1, verses 1 to 14. This is the other account given by Luke of the ascension. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and teach. After his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. He said to them, it is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority. After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. Men of Galilee, they said, why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven. When they arrived, they went upstairs to the room where they were staying. Those present were Peter, John, James, and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James son of Alphaeus and Simon the Zealot, and Judas son of James. Thank you very much. Do you see there? We learn that two angels appear as Jesus is rising up to heaven, blessing and commissioning his disciples to continue his ministry. And that's full of significance as well. This shows to the disciples beyond any doubt who Jesus Christ is. The fact that angels attend to him. They also now tell them clearly that this same Jesus will return again. And what their ministry is to be his witnesses in all of Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And so they are given a mission. And they are given a promise that they will receive the gift of power that is the Holy Spirit. And what do? They are filled with joy. The ascension should fill us with joy. That God is in his rightful place in heaven. And he's there present and active with the Father and all the saints. And he's present and active by his Spirit here on earth. And he's invited you and me to be part of this ministry. Jesus' ministry on earth has ended, but God's ministry continues through you and through me. And this is what the angels bring to bear upon those disciples before them. And so what do? They obey. And they go back to Jerusalem where they pray and then they wait. Nico and Vicky invited us to participate in Thy Kingdom Come. The rule and reign of God to come. For people we know and care about to be drawn closer to God. Lord, bring your kingdom. And we've been invited to pray for 5 people. Why? Because that's exactly what the disciples did. They went back and they met together as we have done tonight. And they prayed and waited for the Holy Spirit. And my invitation given tonight is that we will be faithful and active in our prayers. For those 5 people that you have prayed for. Pray for them throughout the day. When you're driving your car, having a cup of coffee. As well as perhaps in your quiet times. Pray for them to be drawn closer to God. And then come together when we gather on Thursday at the Dell Center. Because there is power when God's people move. Signs and wonders. So come with that expectation and faithfulness. Knowing that Jesus is coming again. And so the takeaway, which is really simple, is to be prayerful. To be obedient to God, to allow his joy to infuse us, and then for you and for me to honor God as the disciples did and to continue his ministry. Many of you will be familiar with this quote from a Christian lady who wrote it in the 1500s. Christ has no body on earth but ours. No hands, no feet on earth but ours. Ours are the eyes through which he looks compassion on his world. Christ has his no hands of love but ours. So let us open our hearts and open our hands and walk with him so that we can bring his body to earth. This is what the ascension enables. Christ's ministry on earth may have ended, but it has begun through us. So may we be joyful, obedient, prayerful and active together. Would you pray with me? I would invite the band to come up. And just leave some time for the Spirit to seal in your heart that what he has for you. And then I'm going to pray. And I just feel a prompting from God just to, as a group were praying before the service, some prophetic things came to us. And I just want to open those up to you and to invite you to receive. And if you sense it's from you, to receive those from God and to allow a response that's right for you. To pray with the person next to you, to pray with members of the prayer ministry team, to allow God to minister to you. So let's pray. Father, we thank you that you are the crucified, risen and ascended Lord. Thank you, Lord, for helping us to understand that more fully tonight. And I pray, Lord, that understanding may not just be for our heads, but actually come into our hearts and our lives. That we might increasingly live as your disciples did back then. To be people whose eyes are fixed on you. Who seek to honor you in every way. Lord, help us to honor you with how we speak. With how we think. With how we use our hands, our feet, and our time. In our time before this service, a picture was given of someone who was walking a tightrope with a pole. And they were anxious. And the invitation is to look to Jesus as the ascended one, to trust him and to allow him to lead you onwards into the new thing. A picture was given that someone is the beloved son or daughter of God. A fresh start is being offered. And that's what ascension enabled. A continuation of life with God. A fresh start of ministry in the power of the Spirit. God is offering that to you. He is offering you the invitation to receive his amazing grace. And it may be you want to welcome God to more fully to be present in you. For his Spirit to work with you. Prayer was given that the Lord knows you and loves you. You are his faithful person and people. Allow yourself to look to him and to be dumbstruck with awe. The disciples were dumbstruck with awe as they gazed at the risen Lord. As he loved them, rose to heaven and to bless them. And it may be that you, as well as me, need to fix our eyes afresh on Jesus. And allow a sense of awe and power and love to fill you afresh. If that's you, receive this as a gift of God by his Spirit. Lord, I thank you that you're present and active and love. And Lord, as we receive those prophetic words and allow your Spirit to speak to us, that each person present may know that presence. Help us, Lord, to open up. Come, Holy Spirit, and fill us afresh tonight as we continue to honor you together. And all God's people who agreed said,